We'll try to cover as much as we can of the issue of employing a guy to work for you on Shabbos. Now, you know, when it comes to the general topic of Amir Lachim, like all areas of business, there's a commercial aspect and there's a residential aspect. So what we like to refer to as the residential aspect is what's typically thought of in Amir Lachim, which is telling a guy to turn on a light for you, turn off a light for you, you know, your guy to does this for you, does that for you, etc. That's the residential aspect of Amir Lachim, and we're not going to be dealing with that tonight. We're going to be dealing with the more commercial aspect, and the difference being, we're going to be dealing with a Gentile who is your employee. That's a whole different ballpark. Whereas the other aspect of Amir Lachim, which involves telling a guy to do something for you, and the problem over there is entirely based on telling a guy. Amir Lachim, now tell a guy to do something on Shabbos. So you can't tell him. If you find a way around it without telling him, if he does it on his own volition, sometimes it could be mutter. Sometimes, as long as you're not directly benefiting from it, it's mutter, etc. That's when that's a residential discussion. However, when a guy is your employee, then a whole another set of rules falls into place, and that is because the isser isn't specifically the telling him to do anything. Even if you don't tell him anything, it has nothing to do with telling him. Once he's your employee, the problem is he's your shliach. He's doing it for you. And if he's doing something for you, that's prohibited. And it could be, even a deraiso, or not even that, whether deraiso or not is a question, but it's perhaps an asmachta. It's a whole different level of severity when the guy is your employee and he's doing it on your behalf. And that being the case, we'll see that the only situation where you can have a guy actually do something for you on Shabbos is only if it can be considered that he's doing it for his own benefit and not for you. Right? And that's what we're going to come to be explained tonight. We're going to go through various different klalim rules that we can determine when is it considered the guy is doing it for his own benefit and when is it considered the guy is doing it for your benefit. As if he's your shliach, if he's doing it for your benefit, then it's going to be us no matter what. If he's doing it for his own benefit, it's going to be mutter. And then we're going to go through five different aspects that have to, each situation has to be measured against these five rules to see whether it'll be permitted or be prohibited, and let's see how much of those we can get through. So I want to discuss, I find this to be a very good case, because it really encompasses all the various different questions of Amir Lachim employing a guy that there are. If you're in the real estate business, and you have a apartment building, and you employ a guyish superintendent, is that permitted or not? Now, why is it so complicated? Because this superintendent does work for you, and he needs to work on Shabbos very often. If something breaks in a tenant's house, if the heat breaks in the building, if the pipe bursts in the basement, etc., the superintendent's got to be on call, and he has to work. So is that permitted? Is it prohibited? Is there any way that it can be done in a way that it should be mutter or not? And through this example of a superintendent, we'll be able to understand, you know, all different applications of a guy doing work for you, whether it be a gardener whose schedule turns, he shows up on Shabbos, do you have to send him away, or he shows up on a yontif, do you have to send him away, whether it's a plumber or etc., or you have a company and you have a garbage disposal that comes on Shabbos, you know, private garbage disposal, commercial garbage pickup, snow plowing, the works. Any of those, we'll try to work from this example of superintendent and we'll make our way to all the various different repercussions. Okay, so number one, I already mentioned this last week, but the first thing you have to know is the one thing you cannot get around, public enemy number one in Hilchos Shabbos is a schir yad. You can't have someone working for you paid hourly. There's no way in the world that is permitted. And it's something important to know when it comes to Amir Lahakam. That there is, if something is classified as Amir Lahakam, there's no Heter Hefsim Ruba. And this is the Gemara talks about someone's house is burning down. Right? Generally, that's considered the biggest Hefsim possible. Your house is burning down to the ground. You can't tell a guy to put it out. So when it comes to Amir Lachim, it doesn't make a difference how much money you stand to lose. If it's classified as Amir Lachim, it's going to be awesome. And we'll see. Not everything is exactly Amir Lachim. But if it's classified as Amir Lachim, there is no hefsid that allows it to be done. So if a guy is your schir yad, which means you pay him per hour, right? Your typical minimum wage worker who's paid per hour, that is prohibited no matter what. It's actually mentioned a number of places in Mishneh Berurah, but one of the places you'll find on your sheet It's entitled Mishnah Berurah Siman Reish Nun Beis Sifkat Chav Gimel. Top Mishnah Berurah says. No, I'm sorry. Oh, mistake over here.
It's at the other side.
Give me a second. Let's make sure I got the right one. Veda. No, I'm sorry. Right one. Reish Nun Beis Sifkat Chav Gimel. Top line. It says Veda. De'im haya ha'eni Yehudi Schir Yoyim. If the Eni Yehudi is a Schir Yoyim, it means it's paid per hour. Etzlab Yimei HaChoyim. V'hu writes Acha Gamkein, Lasis Melachtoi Bebeisa B'tzina. He wants to do work for you per hour in his house. B'tzina, no one will know about it. And he wants to do it because he wants to make the money. He wants to work overtime. He wants to make that money, something which is actually very Shriya, very typical. Tzarech Leilech Olimchiz B'yadoi. Kivin Shinoi Delei. You didn't even tell him. You just found out he's doing it in his house. He's doing work for you. He's sitting by his computer, right? And he's doing more bookkeeping or whatever it is that he does for you. And you found out he's doing it. You have to go knock on his door and say, "Listen, I'm not. You can't do this for me. I'm not going to pay you. You can't work for me on Shabbos." A schir yoyim under no circumstance can be allowed to the point where you have to go down and stop him if you find out that he's doing it. Even though he's not doing it in front of you. I'm sorry. Yeah, look, you know, he can work if he wants, just you can't pay him, that's all. He has to know that you're not going to pay him if he works for you. Look in the Sharet Tzion on this. It's Oysia Test, it's the right under this. Mevur bekama mekaymis da daita yisrael ka'avid b'schir yayim. A schir yayim is always considered that he is doing it for you. Now, we're going to explain this in a minute, what this means he's doing it for you. Because really, he's not doing it for you, he's getting paid, right? One would imagine, no one does anything for nothing, right? He's doing it for himself. But we'll explain why that's still called that he's doing it for you. That'll become clear in a minute. So if it's a schir yayim, if he's getting paid per hour, then there's nothing to talk about. You have to stop him, even if he does it on his own volition, even if he's doing his own house, even if he didn't ask you and he started doing it, you have to go down there and stop, make a protest, march around with a sign and tell him that he can't.
The assumption is he's expected to be paid.
Yeah, well, generally. No, aren't we all? Yeah. So, okay. Now, what is the first thing you need to do? So the first way to get around this is to restructure his pay scale or whatever, however his job is set up, that it should not be considered a schir yayim, rather it should be considered a kavlan. Now, let's define what exactly a kavlan is. So first let's see where kavlan is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. That's the next item over here. Hilcha Shabbos Siman Reish Nun Beis, Siv Beis. It's mentioned other places, but here it says pretty clearly. Imuter litin begodav lepoimis eni Yehudi. You're allowed to give your clothing to a French cleaner or a Chinese cleaner. Va'oiros la'avdon, and you can give leather to a leather worker. Pirish ha'umen hashem ha'abed ha'masakin ha'oiros, a professional who works leather. Samuch ha'chashecha, even if it's near night on Friday. Imkos le'dam, if you made up a set price. Oishos ma'aseh p'tayvus ha'no. That continues on to the next piece. As long as you don't tell him to do it on Shabbos, okay, we'll get to that in a second. So this is the classic case of a kavlan, and the classic case of a kavlan is a cleaner. Why is a cleaner a case of a kavlan? Because a cleaner does not get paid per hour. The cleaner does not get paid based on how much time it takes them to clean the clothing. The cleaner gets paid for cleaning, and you pay them for that service when it is rendered. And if they return your clothing and it is not clean, whether or not they spent a lot of time trying, if they didn't clean your clothing, you don't pay them, right? As long as you realize in time. So no matter what, cleaners will not get paid. Let's say they clean your clothing, right, and it's beautiful, it's clean, and then there's one of the workers over there spills Coke on your clothing, you also don't pay them. If they don't return to you a clean suit, they don't get paid, right? So the job is based on, the payment is based on the job getting performed. Whereas a schir yoyim is not based on the job getting performed. Let me explain, what does that mean? What do you mean? If he doesn't work, you're not going to pay him. True. But the difference is as follows. Let's say you have a gayisha cleaning lady, right? You have someone working, a janitor, etc. They come to your house and they want to clean up. So they come, they hire 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they come, right? And then something is going on in your house. Your kids are running around, or if you don't have kids, you're having a meeting, you tell them, listen, you know, you can't mop the floor just now, this is the worst time, wait 20 minutes or half hour, and then you can mop the floor. Do you pay them for that half hour? You most certainly pay them for that half hour. you bought the person's time, right? He comes, you can't give him the opportunity to work, no problem, he's very happy to sit and do nothing, right? You bought his time, he came, here's my time, do with it what you want. If you can't let me work now, you'll pay anyway, right? That's why the concept is that someone who's paid per hour, once you bought his time, right, once you gave him that $10, $12 an hour, now the hour is yours, everything after that he's doing for you. Right, the time he bought, now he got his money for his time. The work he's doing is not for you, not for himself, I'm sorry. The work he's doing is for you. If you tell him, oh, I don't have a place for you to work now, he's just as happy, right? Whereas the cleaners, they need to get the job done because they won't get paid otherwise. The only way they get paid is they can produce the clean clothing, if they can produce the work leather. Otherwise, they will not get paid. It has nothing to do with the time. It has to do with the job. Therefore, every ounce of work that they do, every effort they put into this is in order that they should get their money. That's the difference in between a schir yaim and a kavim. But more specifically, the way we determine the difference, that's another understanding of the difference. The way we determine the difference is by, are they getting paid for the job, or are they getting paid for their time?
How do you explain the situation, let's say on Shabbos, somebody makes a kiddush in shul, 100 people, and he hired the guy, 2 hours,
waiter?
Waiters and waitresses.
Okay. So we got the specific. When we get to specific, we're gonna have to, you know, try to work from my superintendent, and we'll try to get to your waiter. But you know, first let's see what we can figure out as through the clothing.
What about like a waiter who builds by the
house? Oh, very good, excellent. I was gonna get to it. So now the question arises. First, actually, before I get to that, let me just clarify a little bit more about kablanos, and then we'll get to that. So now, this is one example of a kablan, right, where they're cleaning clothing, right? Very straightforward. They're cleaning clothing, they have to produce clean clothing, right? Another example of a kablan is, you give someone money, you want him to build you a piece of furniture. Got it? He has to produce the furniture. He doesn't produce the furniture, he doesn't get paid, right? That's a very straightforward type of kablan. There, excuse me, are other type of kablanim, which don't produce anything, they just give you a service, right? He just mentioned a case, a lawyer, perhaps a doctor, you know, a mechanic, etc. A mechanic's not an example. They don't actually give you anything. They work for you, but it's not paid necessarily. It's not an hourly wage. Let me give you an example of that. It's a case in Shulchan Aruch. Next page. Not the next page. It's getting confusing over here. No, it was a case I mentioned last week. The case I mentioned last week was where you had a deal with the government that you have the right to collect the taxes from a bridge, the tolls from a bridge. You have the right to collect the tolls from a bridge. And you hire someone on Shabbos that he should collect the tolls for you. You can't collect them on Shabbos. So that sounds like an hourly rate of schir yaim. You're paying him per hour to collect tolls. So that's not going to work. So the way to do it is with a kablanis. How do you make it a kablanis? The way you make it a kablanis is that once you collect a certain amount of money, you will get a certain amount, a certain payment. For example, you collect $100. Every $100, we pay you $10. Every $200 you collect, we pay you another dollar. In our modern day parlance, every 100 phone calls you answer, you get paid so and so. Right? There's different ways you can, even with services, when they're not actually giving you anything, but there also it can be structured that the payment is not for per hour, but rather the payment is for the quantity of service, right? Whether it's phone calls, whether it's collection, whether it's bookkeeping, whatever the particular item is, it can always be structured, almost always be structured, that the payment is not for the hourly rate, but rather the payment is for the service. Again, the difference being that the guy could stand there the whole day by the bridge and no one comes, he won't get paid. Whereas if he would have been paid per hour, right, he would have gotten paid, right? So that would be a very clear difference where someone is a kablan versus if he's getting paid per hour. Now, what he asked before was, what about a lawyer or let's say a mechanic when they bill per hour? That is the way they charge, right? Or a mechanic, right? They bill for labor, and their labor is probably computed per hours of how much work it is. What is that? So again, there, being that it's the same story, a lawyer, even though I don't know if anybody's a lawyer here, don't take any offense. Maybe people will think, you know, that they're billing you whether or not a service is provided, but the fact is that they really are only billing you for a service which they are providing, and if they don't provide you that service, they can't charge you, and the hours is just a method of computing how much the service is worth. Right? That's how they figure it out. If I work for 10 hours, so then I gave you a $10,000 service, or whatever that particular lawyer's rates are. Likewise, in the mechanic, it's very clear that that's the way it is. The mechanic, when he figures parts and labors, right, it's all just a method of figuring out exactly how much they want to charge for any particular job, right? Usually, it could take longer, it could take shorter. It's sometimes not even based on the specific minute, but it's just a method of computing the time. So, computing the value. So wherever that's the situation, and again, the way we're going to figure it out is by seeing whether the person will get paid even if the job doesn't get done. If the person gets paid even if the job doesn't get done, he's a schirya, it's aser. If the person won't get paid without completion of the job, then he's a kavlan because he needs to work in order to get paid. He needs to complete the job, he has to provide that service, the item, in order to get paid. Then he's a kavlan, then it's mut. Okay? So we've established what a schirayim is, and we've established what a kablan is. Schirayim is going to be also no matter what. A kablan is the first step to something being mutter on Shabbos. Now, think about it. Many of the services we get are kablanis, right? A gardener is a kablanis, right? Not paid per hour, he's paid to mow your lawn, he's paid to seed, he's paid to trim. Plumber is not paid whether he bills you per hours, but it's paid to fix the leak, right? And likewise, many services, electricians, all sorts of services, building houses, right? Contracting, those are all kablanim. None of those are paid per hour. All those are paid for the product, for the service. If so, it would seem that I just gave you a ticket to basically do whatever you want on Shabbos, right? You can build your house on Shabbos. You can have your business run on Shabbos as long as you structure it like a kablanis, right? Okay, now we'll see there's a number of difficulties we're going to run into one after another. So far we have schirayim kablan. Now, problem number one. There's a halacha you can't be koveya melachtoi b'Shabbos. And really, I read that before, let's read it again. That's the second half of this halacha in Siman Reish Beis. The last item on this page, v'hu shalo yoymer lo lasos b'Shabbos. You can't tell a guy specifically to work on Shabbos. Right? You can't give him a tzavah work on Shabbos, which means, let's say in the case of a cleaners, right? You gave it to the cleaners, and they usually have some sort of a span of time that they do it in, right? So you gave it to them on Friday, they say, okay, it'll be ready on Tuesday. And you tell them, listen, I need it ready Saturday night. I'm taking a plane, let's say if the cleaners is open late, I'm taking a plane, I need this suit, have it ready for me Saturday night. You have a working relationship with this cleaners, they say no problem. Now, by telling them that, basically, what you have told them is to do it on Shabbos, right? You're kaveya, melachta, and Shabbos. You told them, you gave them no other choice rather than them to do it on Shabbos. Once that is the case, that is also aser. Why? Because they don't need to do it on Shabbos to get paid. Right? They need to do the job to get paid, and to do the job in order to get paid, it can be done on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's not time specific. It's not a job that needs to be done on Shabbos. Why are they doing it on Shabbos? That they're only doing because you told them to. That they're only doing to benefit you. They have no benefit from doing it on Shabbos. They're not getting paid extra for it. It's nothing. There's absolutely no benefit for them to do it on Shabbos. The job, they're getting paid for completing the job. The time that the job has to be done is something they're only doing for you.
So it wouldn't make it better if you told them, I'm going to give you 10 extra dollars to do it on Shabbos.
No, but they're still doing it for you, because that would be sort of like a schirayim. So you're paying for their time.
It's not the point that
right.
they
benefit. Right. What I mean is, in other words, the job, by definition, doesn't get better because it's done on Shabbos. They have from their angle, there's no benefit from doing it. That's a good point. From their angle, there's no benefit to do it on Shabbos. Therefore, they're only doing it for you. If you're kaveh malachta b'Shabbos, if you tell them it has to be done on Shabbos, it's going to be awesome. Oh. So now, we're complicating things. Let's go back to our super, right? So you have here your superintendent, and you tell him, you give him the list of his responsibilities, and you tell him that if a pipe breaks, you have to fix it, right? Okay, now in essence, what you've told him is that if a pipe breaks, you have to fix it then, right? Not tomorrow, not the next week. It has to be fixed then, before your whole building starts floating, right? So if it breaks on Shabbos, he has to fix it on Shabbos. So you have just been kaveh melachta, even though you haven't said so many words that you have to work on Shabbos, but that has been the underlying message. Whenever the situation comes up, you need to work. That would be a problem with kaveh melachta. Right? So even if we take our superintendent, which generally is paid per hour, but for Shabbos you restructure his wages and you say instead of paying him per hour an hourly wage, you make it a flat fee for the service of Shabbos. You know, give me Shabbos' services and you will be paid the flat fee of X amount of money. That you restructure his pay so that he's a kablan on Shabbos. We still have a problem because many of the jobs that a superintendent needs to do is by definition kaveh malachta b'Shabbos. An emergency comes up, it's something which is a kaveh malachta b'Shabbos. Now, even though I said before that when it comes to Amir la'akum, there is no exception made to Hefsim Ruba, this is one exception. When it comes to kaveh malachta b'Shabbos, is not a 100% Amir la'akum, which means he's still a kablan. He's still a kablan, and since he's a kablan, he's really working for himself. Yes, you know, he's doing it, doing you a favor, he's doing it on Shabbos, he's doing that for you. So Chazal said, okay, it appears as if he's doing it for you. But in truth, really, he's doing the work for himself, because he needs to finish the job in order to get paid. So whether the fact that he's actually doing it on Shabbos doesn't make it a 100% Amir la'akum. It's sort of a quasi-Amir la'akum. Now I'll do it. But this situation, there is some exception made for Hefsid Meruba. But, we'll see, it's not exactly as simple as that. Look at the next item over here. And this is actually on the case of... this is going on the case of the Meches, or other cases like that.
Is the superintendent really a kaplan, or is this...
Generally, he's a skiryan. But like I said, you can restructure his pay that on Shabbos he should be a kablan, which give him a flat fee instead of paying per hour. Say, give me the service, be on call. That's how we'll call his service, right? Be on call for Shabbos, and you get a certain amount of money, right? Not an hourly pay, but rather just for giving that, providing that service of being on call and doing whatever it is that needs to be done.
Meaning,
well, see, it's not so cautious that even that's
most of them are salaried. Most of the supers are salaried, but you still want them to do it on Shabbos.
Correct. Right. Okay, so let's see over here that there is some heter of hefsid. Now the case is again, back to this case of meches, right? Where you hired the guy to collect toll on the bridge. So this is the first thing on the second side over here. Simon Reishman Dalas of Kotan Lamed Beis. So it says there, Imbu Bikabailas, if you hire this guy as a kablan, the Oz Shari Medina, then it's Mutar Me'ikr Hadin, Kamai, Ba'iris La'avdin, Reshem Reshem Beis, like the case I just said before, when you give iris to a leather worker or cleaners, clothing to a cleaners, the Mutar Litin Loi Kaidim Shkia Zachama, as long as you give it to him before night, Imbu Biki Bailas, Rishum Da'adaita Dinav Shikav, and he's doing it on his own, for his own benefit. Va'afal Gav, the Asr Sham Lukavai Lai Mulakta B'Shabbos. Over there it says, you're not allowed to tell him to work on Shabbos. And over here, in this case where you told the guy to collect tolls on the bridge, you told him to work on Shabbos. That's the whole point. You're hiring him for Shabbos, right? Yeah, hiring him for the rest of the week. You're collecting the tolls. You hired him to collect the tolls on Shabbos. This is another issue which we'll get to soon. It's another problem. It's Farhesia. Everybody sees it. So let's skip a line or two over here. Next line, Mikal Makan. Alright, see on the next line, Mikal Makan, he tiru bezeh. Still they were matter. Why? Mishum said it because of Hefsid. But look what the Mishabura says. Not simple Hefsid. The Adam Bahul on the mind, right? A person is very worried about his livelihood. The Eloi Sharasai, and if we don't allow him to do it through a guy, Asi Ligvez Ba'atzmai. He will come to collect money on his own. The Yavi Ladei Yisur Dairaisa, and he'll be Ivar Nisa Dairaisa. The Shami Yichtoi Piska Kidarcha Maisim, he's going to take a list and write down who came, who didn't come, who paid, who owes money. He'll come Ladei Yisur Dairaisa. So therefore, since this Hefsid is this type of Hefsid that will cause him to be Ivar Nisa Dairaisa, that's why Chazal allowed you, being that it's not Asr Medina, it's only Kaveh Malachtai, they allowed you to get past Kaveh Malachtai and have a guy do it for you. Because it's Makom Hefsid, we're worried you'll do it yourself. Okay? And Mishabura speaks about whether it'll be over the Rabbanan. Okay. But Al-Kapanim, that's the point. Now, once that is the point, in other words, it's not simply the fact that this Hefsid. The Chazal were worried that since this Hefsid, you'll do it yourself. So there's a few things over here. First of all, it has to be something you can do. Right? Now, unless you know how to rewire a fuse box and how to fix a broken pipe and do the other various jobs that your super knows how to do, then this won't apply to you, right? Because you'll never come to do it because you don't know how to do it, right? You don't know how to fix a pipe. You don't know how to rewire something. So that's A. Number B, this is Chasam Sefer speaks this out. Chasam Sefer and Chuvis, Arachaim, Aleph, Simen, Nun, Zayin. I'm going to test maybe. So that's number one. And number two, more than that, it has to be something that you actually do during the week. Meaning, say, you might actually be a handy guy, and you know how to fix a fuse box and rewire, and you know how to, you know, repair lights and etc. Could be you know how to do all that. But you don't do that, right? There's a reason why you are sitting up there on the top, and that guy is over there on the bottom fixing the plumbing. You don't want to be the one fixing the plumbing. It's his job, but it's not your job, and you never do that during the week. It's not a job that you do. Over here by Meches, this guy does it the whole week. He's the one who collects the taxes the whole week. That's his job. He can't do it on Shabbos, so he's having someone do it instead of him. Over here, the plumber is the one who fixes the plumbing the whole week. That super, that's his job. You never do that. You don't get your hands dirty in your building. You don't even step foot in the place, right? You have someone collect the rent for you. You have someone doing the repairs for you. You never do this. There's no chashash. Just because of your hefzer, you're going to come do it, because you just won't. You know that you won't, right? You'll just find someone to do it. You'll call. You'll get this plumbing company. You'll, you know, raise whatever you can raise to get it going. But you're not going to do it yourself. So there's no chashash. You'll be over the issue yourself. So then, this heter doesn't apply. So therefore, this heter is a very limited use to us. This heter of hefzer is a very limited heter. It's only really in a situation where it's a job that you do, typically. And there you have a guy doing it instead of you. So then we have a chashash. You might come to do it, makom hefzer deromatik v'em lach. Other than that, you will not have a heter v'em lach. So we have a problem here with our super, right? We can't let the super fix the pipe, we can't let the super rewire, fix the heating, etc. Hefzer Merubah is not going to be a heter, right? So we have a problem. We're going to have to see how we can get around that problem. And likewise, right, any situation such as that, when you have someone working for you and you tell him to work on Shabbos and so on and so forth, if you need him to work on Shabbos, if the type of job that requires him to work on Shabbos, for example, right? For example, let's say you schedule commercial garbage pickup, right? And you schedule it for every Tuesday. And this year, Tuesday is Pesach, right? See, you can't have them pick up garbage on Tuesday, because that's Kaveh Malachta. You told them to come every Tuesday, and one of those Tuesdays is Pesach. You are required to be aware of the calendar. So you have told them to come on the Tuesday that is Pesach. You have to tell them on this Tuesday don't collect the garbage. And it's a little complicated for people who do commercial car garbage pickup, because they don't change their route. You can't say, okay, we'll come tomorrow. They don't do that. They have a route. They have a schedule. If you're on Tuesday, and Tuesday is your day, and if you don't pick up, we don't want me to pick up on Tuesday, then I'm picking up next Tuesday. And then, you know, that's not pasha. That's a big problem. So it's also an issue. We'll see. That's going to be a similar type of problem with the superintendent. And likewise, snow plowing, right? Commercial snow plowing. And in Lakewood, you know, you have developments that they're privately owned, basically. And they have to pay for their own snow plowing, right? So you call a guy to come and you say, whenever there's snow, you come. That means you're saying if it snows on Shabbos, he has to come, right? That's going to convey him left of a Shabbos. You can't do that. You can't tell the guy that he has to come, you know, regardless, and if it's Shabbos, he has to come. So, Rashad Miller holds that regarding snow plowing, he said technically they don't really need to do a malacha to plow the snow. In other words, let's say in a private development, it has an eruv, they can do it with a shovels, and they can shovel the snow. Okay, so you know, the truth is, when it comes to,
if they have an army of people.
Yeah, so okay, first of all, depends, right? So if we're talking about ShopRite's parking lots, you know, they'll be shoveling that snow till the spring, you know, it's not going anywhere without a machine. So that's not a yet. But perhaps in a development, you know, it's not such a big development, maybe you could make such an argument. But really, the other issue is it also will depend how realistic is it. Meaning to say, over here by Kaveh Malachta, right? Let's say you give it to the guy Thursday evening, right? And you tell him it has to be ready Matzah Shabbos.
No problem.
And he could work through the night and get it done, right? Let's say it's a job that takes a while. It's a job that takes 15 hours worth of work. So what he's going to do is going to work 7 hours on Friday and 7 hours on Shabbos. They say, hey, you can work through the night, and you can make it all done before Shabbos. Is that mutter, or is that still called Kaveh Malachta? You told him, do the job. It's taking 15 hours. It can be done through the night, and it can be finished before Shabbos, but that's not normal work time. The Taz says, Mishra Berurah brings it down, that that's still called Kaveh Malachta. You can't tell someone to do something which is crazy and say that's not Kaveh Malachta because of that. As long as, wherever that's the only normal way to do it is by doing it on Shabbos, and that's the only option you're giving him, that's called Kaveh Malachta. So likewise, you know, you'll have to know if it's totally absurd to assume that the fellow will go and start shoveling the snow with shovels, then, you know, then that heter can't be applied. If it's something that sometimes gets done, I remember when they had 3 years ago, you know, that snow that buried New York City. So when the garbage trucks couldn't go down the street, they got out with shovels and started shoveling with the shovels. You know, it was they didn't make too much progress as a result of that. But you know, in certain situations, they actually do use human labor. Okay, so we have a problem called kaveh amlach. Now there's another problem which I want to discuss over here, and that other problem is a very interesting concept. It's referred to as kablonos the merchitz. Also, it's referred to as the Maria Buav. That's one of the early Achronim, the Rebbe of the Beis Yosef. He, one of the Rebbeim of the Beis Yosef, he was the one that's, he's the Baal Deya, he's the one who came up with this problem. And the problem is as follows. I'll give you the prime example of this. The prime example of this is any time you hire someone, let's say, to take care of a store for you. Sit behind the desk. A clerk. So you hire them, and let's say you don't pay them per hour. Right? Let's say that's not the way you pay. You pay them just to give you this service. Mind my store for me. Right? No hourly, until I come back, whatever it might be, I'll give you a flat amount, and let's say they agree to that, $100, you come and you wash my store until I come back, whether it's 5 hours, 2 hours, 3 hours, makes no difference, and the person agrees, $100, he'll do it, right? Okay, so it's not a scary item, you're paying for the job, you're paying him, provide me the service, stand behind the counter for me. Okay, now, he stands behind the counter, no customers come, does he lose any money? Doesn't lose any money. He couldn't care less if the customers do come. Actually, he'd be happier if the customers don't come. He can sit up, he can play with his phone, he can sit on the internet, do the social media, whatever he wants, and you know, put his feet up and relax. Customers come, he has to work. Does he gain anything? He gains nothing. Right? So there, even though he's a kablan, which means you've paid for the job, you want him to come, and he has to provide you a service of standing behind the desk, not hourly, you're not paying him per hour, you're paying him this service. He has to be there, he has to provide that service, he has to be behind the desk, give him $100, and he provides that service. Still, he is not a typical kablan. Why? Because the work is not something that he gains from. Because being there already, he's done his job, just by being there. This is a type of kablan where also being there already is enough for him to accomplish his job. He'll be paid just by being there. Yes, if people come, he needs to do it, otherwise he'll lose his job, right? But he doesn't gain anything from actually servicing the customers. There, he has no gain from that. He'd be just as happy as if customers wouldn't come, right? So this is called kablonis americans. Yes, it's kablonis. Right? Merchitz was a case where someone had a bathhouse, right? And he had a guy who ran the bathhouse, and he paid him a flat fee for running the managing the bathhouse. He got $1,000 of Shabbos for managing the bathhouse. The guy couldn't care less if customers come or customers don't come. It makes no difference to him. He has no gain if customers come. No customer comes, he gets the same $1,000 for managing the bathhouse. Yeah, and therefore, it's a problem that it's called Kablanus de Merchitz, it's the Maria Buav Shita, that this still is Osir Alts, it's as it will be a Schir Yoim. It's just as bad as it be a Schir Yoim, again, because the work, once it gets down to the work, the customers, it's nothing to him. He has no benefit from it, he's doing it only for you. This is the next item over here, in Simon Mishabura, Simon Reishmon, Mem Yimel Sipkat and Yud. And let's see, where does it start over here? Vida. First line, Vida. The Bemerchitz Kai Gavna. The Hainu. Shesoikir en Yehudi. You hire a guy. Lavid b'kol Hashanah. To work the whole year. V'shiyitol ha-Yehudi kol ha-Revach. Shal ha-Shabasis. And the Yid gets all the profits. Medina Aser. It's Aser me'ikra ha-Din. But who had b'ri chayim b'ayfin zel. Likewise, if you have a millstone that you have the same sort of arrangement. The ha'ad d'sharina mitchila medina ha'inu dafke b'sada. That's dafke where a person is working a field. Ukadaima. Why? The ha'malacha k'suva. There's a set amount of work that needs to be done. You have to plow. You have to seed. There's a certain amount of work that needs to be done. It's not customer based. Right? There's work, there's job, very defined job that needs to be done. The actual Hashlimi Bukhalais, and he can do it on his own volition, as he feels fit. He can do it on Shabbos, Sunday, you know, as he decides to work it out. The Ein Revach B'Yisrael B'Mashi Yaseh and Yehudi B'Shabbos, and the Yid has no benefit if he works on Shabbos. He just needs the job done. It doesn't make a difference if he gets done on Shabbos or on Sunday. Then Lo Yaseh Hayoyim, if he doesn't do it today, Yaseh Nabiya Machir, he'll do it the next day. Oh, Zamrina Da'adayt D'Nafshei Avid. Then we say it's Adayt D'Nafshei, he's doing it for himself. Alv America's very chayim. It's not a set amount of work. Every day is its own profits. And if he doesn't serve the customers today, the Yid will lose the customers of that day. Whatever work, whatever customers he's tending is doing it for the Yid. Medina and it's also make a din like a schir yoyim. The after mekabel's chayar, even though he's getting money, Hoyel the nehena is from Shabbos, being that only the Yid is the one who really benefits from the work that's done on Shabbos. So this is the problem, Kabbalah d'Merach. So now, getting back to our super, same thing, right? You pay the guy to be on call. He'd be very happy not to get any phone calls. He'll get his same paycheck, right? He doesn't charge more when there's an emergency. He doesn't charge more if he has to repair the boiler. His salary is to be there on call, right? So he's there on call. He wishes no calls will come in, right? Likewise, if you have someone attending a front desk, answering phone calls, right? Anything like that, any type of job like that, anything that's customer based, anything that is that the pay is regardless of whether a job comes in or not. The pay is based on being on call, being available, right? And then whatever comes in, you don't get paid more, you're going to have this problem. It's kablonis demerchitz, right? So now, not only do we have a problem of kaveh melachtoi, right? Even if it's not a kaveh melachtoi, you'll have another problem that whatever job he's doing, he's only doing it for you. He's not doing it for his own benefit. He would rather not have to do the job. He'd rather not have to have answered the call, have taken care of it. Now, this, at least, there's an easy solution. What's the solution? That's the last line in the Mishnah Berurah over here. He says, the Ein Heter, second to the last line in this piece, the Ein Heter, ki im hecha diyesh le'ein yehudik tzas chelik b'revach ha-shabbosis, unless you give the guy a little benefit per job. The Azar, mina dechen ha-shabbat, which means, if aside from the flat fee you give him to tend the store, to be the super, to be on call, you say, okay, also, per phone call, right, or per job, you will get a set amount. And it has to be some normal type of money, which makes sense to him. Yeah, you'll get $10 per job that you, emergency that comes up. Or if a person is answering phone calls, you'll get, a dollar per phone call. Now, he has his own vested interest in answering phone calls. It's not just for you, it's for him. That will take care of the problem of the Maria Bua. So the problem of Kaveh Melachta, we haven't yet found a solution, but for the Maria Bua, it's not so complicated. You just have to know how to speak Spanish. And you can communicate to the guy, your superintendent, and explain him all this. Provided you're able to communicate with him, and it's not so difficult, you explain to him that his pay is a little different on Shabbos, and you explain to him that he will get paid per job, whatever it is, enough to make him interested, and he'll say, fine. And then you don't have that problem. But again, Kaveh Melachta is still going to be a problem. Now, okay, we don't have time to get to the last thing, but basically, when it gets down to it, the really only real eitzah that works for a superintendent is to have him be hired by the tenants. That's really the best eitzah. The best eitzah is that in the lease, it should say that a part of the rent goes towards the superintendent. Or basically, you could just write it in, there's different ways to do it. You can write it in the bylaws of the building, that the superintendent is the employee of the tenants. They have no responsibility, it's the landlord's responsibility to see that he does his job, that he's hired, that he's fired, so on and so forth. But he's the employee of the tenants, and part of their rent goes towards paying the superintendent. That's the best way, and
the tenants are Jewish.
And the tenants are the problem.
Then you have a problem. So I guess you exclude him. Otherwise, again, it's aside from that problem, as far as you're concerned, your Shemir Shabbos, that's the best Eitzah. Likewise with the snow plowing, garbage pickup, if you work it into the lease, there's different ways to do it. I gave a share to a number of people that work in real estate, and they all, they cringed when they heard this. But there's ways to do it. There's ways to do it without driving everybody crazy. Like I just said, you can write it into the bylaws of the building, and then just write it in the small print in the lease that, everything here is subject to the bylaws. There's ways to do it that is not so, that won't raise as many eyebrows, because it doesn't really make such a big difference to them if he's their employee, if yours, as long as he goes
there.
He's not the landlord's employee.
Right, right.
The chazan who davens Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but he gets paid because he davens the first slichas, havlo.
Right, that's the way. You're getting into Schar Shabbos now. That'll have to be next week. That's already a whole other sugya. Yeah, okay. One last thing I'll just mention quickly. The last problem that always has to be dealt with is the problem of Farhesia, which we saw a line in Mishnah Berurah before. There's another halacha. You can't have a guy, no matter what, even if every other requirement is met. He's a kablan, he's not a kaveh melachta, and there's no Rabbi Abuav. He can't do melacha b'farhesia for you, which means that's why you can't have a guy building a house for you on Shabbos. You can't have a guy working for you b'farhesia in the public that everybody knows he's working for you. That's prohibited no matter what. And basically, we consider any work on a building, any work on a mechubar l'karka, any work on a structure to be considered farhesia. Therefore, if the guy is doing work in the basement, right, that cannot be allowed no matter what. Now, if he's working in a tenant's apartment, that's the tenant. right? It's a tenant's rishus. He's doing it in a guy, hopefully a guy's apartment, that's not a problem. But if he's working in your basement, if he's working on the elevator, he's working in the lobby, that is going to be a problem no matter what, because you have an isser of perhesia. Now, this, it depends where your building is. If it's out of tchum of any other yid, it will be mutter, which is very unusual nowadays in the continental USA. Generally, it's hard to get out of tchum of at least a Chabad house or something. You know, so it's difficult. But if you are actually out of the tchum of any yid, that would be mutter. But perhaps it's just a problem of maris ayin. It's a problem that the people think. You hired them, told them to do on Shabbos, whatever. Is that clear? But on Kapanen, let's just summarize.
Car repair would be the same type of item.
It could be. So let's summarize. Schir yayim, no matter what, is awesome. Guy has to be a kavlan. Kavlan being defined as doing the work is based on completing the job, on providing the service, on providing the item. That's number two. Number three is you can't be kaveh melachta. You cannot tell the guy to work on Shabbos. You tell him to work on Shabbos, he's going to be usher, except in Makom Hefsid, where we're worried you'll do that very yourself. Number four is that if it's a customer-based business where the kavlan, even if he's a kavlan, has no benefit from the particular people coming in, it's all being that part is just for you, that's also a problem unless you give him a shear, you pay him separately for each job or each customer, etc., then he has his own benefit then. That would be mutter. And number five is that if it's perhesia, if he's working on mechubar, on your building, then no matter what, it's going to be also because of marasa.
Sure.